being together to order. As you can tell, I have a bit of a problem. And so you have a very quiet chair this afternoon, and we appreciate that from everyone else too, right? As you know, this is our last this is our last committee meeting, and so we have to have our work done by about 5 o'clock today. So and just a second.
So anyway, I think what the chair would say is that we'd like to be brief but cover all the necessary points. And I think we're going to start with House Bill 2818, if it's the chair's pleasure, as I believe it is. And Representative Starr, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Starr, State Representative, House District 3 in Washington County, here to testify in favor and support of House Bill 2818. Quite honestly, this is a very simple bill that allows the MHTA to expand issues for discussion. The Oregon Trucking Association and ODOT will additionally testify, but I just wanted to come and just give my 2 cents worth and asking you to move the bill. There's a Dash 1 amendment that everybody supports. I'd urge you to adopt the Dash 1 amendment, send it back to the House so we can concur and move on with this process. The MHTA was established in 1981. The purpose was to promote uniform size and weight standards for the trucking industry throughout the 11 western states. Currently, MHTA is statutorily authorized in 10 western states, including Oregon. California is no longer a participant. And so it's really a simple and housekeeping kind of amendment or a bill, and I just urge you to adopt the Dash 1s and move on.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there others to testify? Do we have? Bob Russell, Doug, why don't you all come up?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Russell. I'm Director of Government Affairs with the Oregon Trucking Association. I believe Representative Starr described well what the bill does. I've also submitted written testimony and would be happy to answer any of your questions. But in the interest of your time, I think I will stop there with the exception. The department requested an amendment, and I have a hand-engrossed copy of that, and certainly I would support that amendment. And I believe that with that, there is no opposition, and we could move forward.
Thank you, Doug.
Chair Dunk. Chair Duncan, members of the committee, Doug Tindall, State Maintenance Engineer for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Our concerns that we expressed about this bill earlier in the House stemmed from our reading of the bill, probably not the intent of the bill, but the way we felt that it read, and so we proposed the amendments, which we now have in front of us, that Bob agreed to, and we're fine with the bill moving forward. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions?
Oh, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman,
we're dating.
Carter. We're engaged.
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think they're still going to counseling. Mr. Chair, I'd just like to make a statement that in my past life I was in the cattle trucking business. And I know how important that this kind of work is, because it was very difficult to drive from state to state and have different standards and how what weights you could pack, what axles you could have down, and this kind of thing. And the result of that was that our truck in California, as an example, was very inefficient. And yet in Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, it worked extremely well. So I think this we need to continually work towards unifying across the state lines or standards.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to testify? Closing the public hearing, opening the work session on 2818.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2818.
Senator Metzger moves the Dash 1 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any objection?
Chair, I move House Bill 2818 as amended to the floor of the due pass.
Senator Metzger moves 2818 as amended to the floor of the due pass. Is there any discussion? Any objection? carrier. Senator Metzger immensely will carry the bill. Okay.
Could you please speak a little louder?
Cold-hearted.
Cold-hearted hand over there. Okay. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 9. Representative Johnson. Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm the state representative from House District 1, Astoria to beautiful Scappoose. I bring you today House Concurrent Resolution 9, which is really a very simple measure. For nearly 20 years, I owned, operated, and flew for a small helicopter company. We did lots of interesting work. We did movie work, television work, construction, firefighting. I represented the United States as part of their flying team. We took bad bears out of the national parks. We even had a baby born in our backseat. But nothing we did, including flying in and out of a live volcano, held a candle to the nearly heroic work done by the crews of the helicopter based in Astoria that carry the bar pilots. This program has been operating for 2 years with the 4,000th bar pilot landed aboard a ship, often at night, often in rough seas, and all this is conducted with a person hanging on the end of a line below a helicopter being landed on a moving vessel. The purpose of this bill, despite some speculation to the contrary, is simply to celebrate this innovative program that services one of the most dangerous bars in the world. Compounding my pleasure in sponsoring this resolution was attending the ceremony that inaugurated the service of the high-speed pilot boat, the Chinook. The Chinook was blessed by the tribe in a very moving ceremony. This is the Chinook tribe that met Lewis and Clark nearly 200 years ago when the Chinook people crossed that very dangerous bar in canoes. I've ridden on the Chinook, and it reflects amazing technology. I clearly understand how the implementation of this multimodal approach to keeping the Columbia River open for commerce is effective. This resolution is designed purely to acknowledge the dangerous and demanding work routinely performed by the Columbia bar pilots and to call attention to their technologically advanced pilotage system. It gives me an opportunity as a helicopter pilot to tip my hat to a great program and celebrate the work that's done by the extraordinary men and women of the Columbia Bar Pilots Association. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Representative. Any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
No one else wants to testify. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 9. Open the work session. Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move HCR 9 to the floor to do pass.
Second.
Adopt.
Senator Metzger moves that we adopt House Concurrent Resolution 9. Is there any discussion, any objection? Would you like to carry the bill?
Sure. Happy to do this.
Senator Metzger will carry the bill. Okay, thank you. Make sure, do I have anybody? Yes. Thank you very much, Representative Johnson.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to move to the work session on Senate Bill 107. Do I have?
Yes.
Let's see, do we have any amendments?
We have the dash 3 amendments.
Yeah, that would be 107. Senate Bill 107. We have the dash 3 amendments before us. Yes. Senator Messer, I ask unanimous consent to reopen House Concurrent Resolution 9 for the purpose of voting. Is there any objection? Hearing none, Senator Metzger. Messer, how do you vote? He votes aye. All right, we're on Senate Bill 107, and we're working on the dash 3 amendments. Where are those dash 3 amendments? Would Al would Al or any of the other players want to come to the table if there are any questions? Okay. City of Portland.
Well, it's 107.
107.
That's what it looks like we've got.
Are there any questions for it? We're in a work session on 107 right now. Are there any questions for the...
Hi.
The Assembly Minister?
Well, no, I just wait. Here, I'm very curious to hear the explanation of the dash threes.
Okay.
Yes. Dash threes are the same amendments the dash twos were, except on lines 5 through 7. They incorporate a section that says a police agency may not collect its fee under this section from a holder of a towing company unless the holder has first collected payment of any towing and storage charges associated with the impoundment. Other than that, Mr. Chair, they're the same as the dash twos.
Other comments from you folks?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mark Landauer with the City of Portland's Office of Government Relations. We would still oppose the bill if it were amended with the dash three amendment. Simply because I think this creates a bureaucratic and administrative nightmare. Simply put, if the holder of a towing business certificate were prohibited or a city were prohibited from collecting, for example, a release fee until the tower had actually collected payment of any towing and storage costs, who tracks that, bottom line? Is it the towers that are going to be tracking that? Is that the city who's going to be tracking that? Furthermore, what does collected mean? If a tower sells a vehicle, they've received proceeds from the sale of that vehicle, but have they actually collected payment and also payment for storage and towing? I think that this is confusing. It's going to create some problems for the city. Furthermore, it could very well have an impact on the city's or eliminate the city's ability to charge service fees on contract tows. This is something different than what I understand the towing industry is going after. It's my understanding that the towing industry is particularly interested in trying to avoid having to pay release fees on vehicles that have been towed for a variety of different infractions, and that release fee, or this language, I think, goes beyond what they're trying to get after.
Senator Fisher? Senator Fisher, do you want to come join him at the table? Okay. Why don't you go ahead? Did you want to respond to... Mr. Elkins, the gentleman here, does he want to...
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, Director of the Oregon Tow Truck Association. With me today is President of the Oregon Tow Truck Association, Steve Preston, who has an answer for that question.
Okay.
Senators, I own a towing company in the city of Portland. I've been in the towing business now for over 17 years. These vehicles that we're talking about here, this release fee issue, these are vehicles that the police are ordering us to tow because the people have broken the law. They've been arrested for some reason, driving without a license. They're, for whatever reason, the vehicles are towed. We impound these cars. We file possessory lien on them because the owners of the vehicles do not come to our office and pay our bill. They're not interested in getting the cars back because the cars are usually valued at $100 or less. We incur expenses totaling up to $400 or $500 by the time we tow the car and store it for 30 days and foreclose a lien on it. The reason they don't come after these cars is because they're not worth the $400 or $500 bill that's against it. And after we foreclose lien on the vehicle, we sell the car to try and get whatever money we can out of it to recoup our expenses. On top of these expenses now, the City of Portland wants to charge us this release fee for us to pay them for their administrative paperwork fee, so that we can take the car to the dump or the wrecking yard and get paid $20 to $30 per ton for the value of this car. It's an unnecessary expense that was originally meant to penalize the criminals for having their cars towed. It was never meant to penalize the towing companies to process these unwanted cars that people dump on the tow company's lots.
Okay, thank you. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bill Fisher from District 23. I don't apologize for not being here. I was down in the committee having to suffer through them making fun of you not being able to be down there because you lost your voice and your staff had to be down there. So I got up here as quickly as I could afterwards.
You want to hear what I sounded like, huh?
We did some research and didn't have any trouble at all finding that Roseburg is continuing to run these charges through to the tow companies. I have here a copy, and I believe it has been furnished to you, showing as late as May 1 that they have been issuing these $100 fees to the tow company. I, at the suggestion of Senator Messerly, had the 107-3 amendments drafted, which would allow the paying of these fees if there were monies sufficient to cover the expenses of the tow company and then cover the expenses of the city fees or administrative fees, wherever they came from whatever jurisdiction, would allow them to be paid when the car was valuable enough to give these, to provide enough money for these fees. We feel that this is a reasonable answer. It was testified to during the first public hearing on this bill that these tow companies had signed a contract, and that's true. They do sign a contract, but they sign it basically at the point of a gun, because if they don't sign the contract to take these cars, then they're not eligible to be called and get any of the city business when they actually have a paying customer. So there's quite a bit of leverage applied to these tow companies to do this, and they've done it and put and financially taken the beating on an awful lot of vehicles prior to this time. We've been working on this situation for a couple of sessions now, trying to find some answers to it, and we believe that that this is the best answer, and would ask your support of the -3 amendments and giving the tow companies some relief here from the what they've been under.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions from members of the committee? Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, does the towing company association, do they support the -3?
Mr. Chair, yes, we do.
And I guess maybe Senator Fisher answered the question, at least in some jurisdiction. Do all towing companies have contracts with the cities? In other words, are you obligated to pick these cars up?
Yes, we are. Not all tow companies do tow for the city, but a majority of the large companies do, yes.
Mr. Chair, if I could have one more. And this is directed to the City of Portland or the Oregon League of Cities. Do you have a solution to this problem, or do you think it's fair that the towing company should operate at a loss on some of these cars? And if so, what is the solution? I have not heard of any alternatives coming from the cities.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair and Senator Messerly, if I can address at least part of your question. One of the concerns that we have in the City of Portland at a very minimum is administrative fees. It's overly broad. We do have other contracts for tow, and those are very lucrative for the towing industry. This bill could very well impact our ability, our Bureau of Licenses, to be able to administer these contracts with the tow industry, and very well could shut those down as well. We will have no funding to administer those tow for fee situations, and we'll have to go to the general fund and extract money, eliminating funding from police, parks, fire, etc. What we have suggested, at least what I had suggested previously to the towing industry, although we would still be opposed to this, is limiting this to the release fee only. And I know that the towing industry has attempted to do this, but again, this bill talks about administrative fees in a very broad sense, and it will impact other areas that the towing industry, as they had relayed to me, were not interested in affecting.
Chair, could I follow? How do you award these contracts? Do you go to bid to the tow companies?
Mr. Chair, Senator Meserly, I believe that is the case. However, I do not have firsthand knowledge, and I certainly can get that information for you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I can answer that question. No, it is not a bid-type contract. The tow company that's interested to tow for the City of Portland merely needs to meet their requirements of the contract, and assuming that they successfully meet all the requirements, then they are given a rotation on the City of Portland tow contract.
Mr. Elkins, and then we're going to
Mr. Chair, for the record, Al Elkins, Mark is right. He did address us with the suggestion for two amendments that would change the wording of that, and I ran both amendments by LC, and they came back to me and said that the wording has to be the way it is in the amendment because of the way the statute is written. I voiced Mark's concern to Legislative Council in both instances, and they said, sorry, we can't change that. So I wrote a note to Mark and suggested that he worked with LC on coming up with language that would be acceptable to all.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, members of the committee, we have 107 before us, and we're in work session. Is there any...
Mr. Chair, I'm getting more confused as we go. How do you set the price if there's no competitive bidding? How does how do the cities come up with the price that they that the towing companies charge? Or is there a guaranteed price?
The City of Portland dictates to us what price they will allow us to charge, and we have simply a choice on whether to participate in the contract or not.
I believe that's the case.
And how do you come up with that price set?
I believe that we look at all the administrative fees that are required to cover the costs for the program and set the price at that level, sir.
Can I respond to that also? The City of Portland, Marion Gaylord is the towing coordinator, and I'm an industry representative on the City of Portland Tow Board also. They do survey other cities similar to the size and population of Portland to see what they're charging in a similar type situation around the United States. And we also have a little bit of negotiating that goes on between the towers and the city as far as what our expenses are and versus what they would allow us to charge. So there's a little negotiation, but they base it on what other cities of the size of the City of Portland charge.
Mr. Chair, I have a sense we're talking about two different things. I think you're talking about the charge that you can charge the customers for towing, and I believe you're talking about the charge that the city will
charge for... You're right. I am talking about something separate.
Yes.
Okay. What is the desire of the committee?
Carter, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be a no vote on this bill, and because I think it preempts local... officials for making their own decisions, and obviously this only relates to two cities in the state, and that's the City of Roseburg and the City of Portland, and in that sense I don't find it a compelling reason for the state to override the policy objectives of local communities. I have a real problem with that, and prior to 1998, when the Supreme Court got involved in this. We took this to the Supreme Court. The City of Portland charged only $15, according to my information, for the release of a vehicle prior to this whole litigation piece. And so I think for that reason, for the big bad state to come in and try to determine this issue that affects only two cities in this state is not good public policy. So for that reason, I'll do a no vote.
Okay, Senator Misery. Mr. Chair,
yes, Senator Musker. Yeah, I was just going to say, Mr. Chair, I agree with Senator Carter on this. This is an interesting situation, and I know it's come up because Roseburg is a little bit different than Portland is in terms of what they charge, but I still can't get away from the fact that it is a contract between a private entity and government, and you know what the terms of that contract are, and you know, conceivably, Metzger-Messerly Towing Company could come in and say, yeah, we're willing to do this. We know what the fees are. We're willing to engage under that scenario. And for the legislature to say, no, we're going to say what those fees may be for you to enter in a private contract at your own will, you know, it bothers me. And I would say, Senator Carter, as I understand, this is still in litigation.
Indeed, it is. In fact, it's my understanding that the towing companies have filed papers with the Supreme Court appealing the Oregon Court of Appeals ruling, which found in the city of Portland's favor, which overruled the lower circuit court, which found in favor of the towing industry.
Well, Mr. Chair, just to conclude, Mr. Chair, and as I have said before on some other issues with 622 and others, since I know we do have a court decision outstanding, I really don't want to kind of come in the position of that, at least until that decision is rendered and we see if there's something that needs to be done. And with that, I'm done.
Mr. Chair, did you move the bill?
Have I moved the bill? No, I haven't.
Okay, you're not for the bill.
Well, I want to.
Mr. Chair.
We're recess for just about 2 minutes. We'll see on this bill. I'll move to that. 426-18.
Did it? Did it? Did it? Please, 100. And what's the
428-18.
They backed off. Yeah, I know they backed off, but you're hanging there in the weeds. They got half the chance they do it. What was stopped?
Yes, sir. Yes, Senator.
I'm ready. I move the dash threes to Senate Bill 107.
Senator Misery moves the dash threes to 107.
Mr. Chair, could I have your indulgence just a moment?
Pardon?
Could I have your indulgence just a moment?
Back in order. What's that?
Could I have your indulgence just a moment?
Yes, Senator.
This is not just the city of Roseburg and the city of Portland. We had problems with the sheriff's department doing this down in Douglas County. The state police were doing this. They backed off momentarily, but there's no assurance that they will continue to do that. And that's why we need this bill particularly to stop this type of thing where everybody can share some of the deficit in the process here until we can work with Senate Bill 159 and the like of that to put a stop to people doing these and abandoning these vehicles.
Okay. Senator Messerly has moved the dash three amendments. Is there any discussion? Objection? You object? The dash three amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 107 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Messerly moves Senate Bill 107 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection?
Yes.
Senator 107 be sent to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Messerly, yes. And Senator Fisher, do you want to carry the bill?
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Okay. Public work session on 635. Would the players on 635 please come forward?
They may have been seen.
Oh, excuse me, just one moment. Excuse me, folks. I'm going to back in just 1 minute. I need to check. I have Representative Witt and Representative King here. Are you here on what bill are you here on?
We're here, Chairman, on
House Bill 2638. Okay. Excuse me. I'm going to open a work session of the public hearing on 2638. Yes, I'm sorry. And generally, I'm a better voice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make a couple brief comments about this bill and then let Representative King follow up. This bill, Representative King and I introduced this bill at the request of the Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association. This bill was heard in the House Commerce Committee, of which I'm chair. We took extensive testimony on this bill, and in fact, I held the hearing over on this bill to a later date so that Mr. Elkins of the tow operators could be present and give testimony because I think there was an illness in the family the day that we heard the bill. And at the second public hearing on this bill, a compromise was reached between the parties, and Mr. King from the Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association, Mr. Elkins from the tow operators, both sat together at the witness stand and both testified in support of some amendments to the bill, which ultimately became the A. Engross version of the bill. But as you can see, what the bill does is it requires notice to a car owner or someone who has an interest in an automobile within 15 days after that car is towed and placed into custody. And, of course, the purpose for that, Mr. Chairman, is that the charges, the storage charges, don't mount up to some extremely high amount, but that there's a reasonable requirement here that within 15 days you must give notice so that the person who owns the car has the opportunity, of course, to come in and pay the towing and the storage charges and get the car back. But the point I wanted to make, because I understand there may be some opposition to this bill now from the tow operators, is that they agreed in my committee very clearly to the amendments which led to the A engrossed version of the bill and sat there and testified in support of the amendment and the bill as it ultimately appears in front of this committee.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Hi, thank you. Representative Al King, House District 44, and as a number of you know, are aware, Monty King, the Executive Director of Oregon Independent Auto Dealers, is my brother, and I try and be, scrupulous in terms of, you know, helping him no more or less than anyone else. Part of my comments to them was that I'd be glad to be, to help write a bill, so long as there was, agreement between the parties to proceed and reasonable guidelines. So that was my understanding as being a sponsor, of the bill. So I understand there is some disagreement now. I just wanted to testify that was my understanding in the background.
I often don't treat my...
And that is, I believe, on page 3 of some testimony that I understand that Monty King has either provided or would provide at this hearing. It's a letter dated January 14th, 2001, from Al Elkins to Monty King.
And Mr. Chairman, if I can add also, the original bill called for notice within 2 days. The amended bill, which is in the engrossed version of the bill, calls for a 15 days. So there was a significant movement here in terms of a compromise, which the parties agreed to in the House Commerce Committee.
Okay. Monty, did you have anything you want to add on that?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Monty King, Executive Director, Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association. And I do want to say that we had an agreement. We felt 2 days was more than enough time for these people to get the information out. There was a call for a study. I have amendments here for two different kinds of studies if you want to do those two, either one of them. One of the studies is a study by the Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee, which is a part of DMV. There's two of them, one on top and one on bottom. And I have agreement from the chairman of the Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee that they would do that study, and that would cost very, very little, because basically the industry or the automotive industry would do the study. The other one is for a study by DOT. That has a significant fiscal impact. We don't feel that's necessary. We do agree that the tow industry and that process needs some looking at. That's not what this bill is at. This bill is saying 15 is enough. We wanted 2. We agreed to 15. We think we went way backwards from what my members really wanted. They agreed to it. We put the bill in. And 20 is way too long. I've looked at other states. Idaho is 4. I mean, but 20 is a far range of the United States for this kind of notice. And really, that's really about all I want to say about that notice is,
okay,
we have an agreement. Let's do it.
Thank you, Al. Elkins? Any questions for Representative? We have to Representative King before they leave.
I want to ask him a question.
Yes.
Do which one of these amendments do you guys, there's an A7 and an A8, which of the amendments do you agree with?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carter, the A... I don't have any amendments in front of me anymore. They're all up there. The one that has the advisory committee under ORS, whatever. Okay, and that is the A8 is the best one. That's the ODAC, Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee. That's cost the least. I think it's the best thing for DMV, DOT, and they agree to it. And I'm quite happy with the bill, with that or without it, whichever you'd like.
Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carter, my testimony today was primarily to bring the committee up to date about how the agreement was reached in my committee and what the purpose of the bill was.
Right.
I really haven't looked at these specific amendments that are being offered here in this committee. I did want to make sure the committee understood that in the House Commerce Committee, there was an agreement reached between the parties. And it was after two hearings, and they both sat together and testified in support of the bill as it's come to this committee. These amendments, I don't really necessarily have a direct opinion on because I really haven't looked at them, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to support the Dash 8 amendments. Is that the amendments?
Representative King, anything?
I'm in a similar position with Representative Witt, and you know, all other things equal, I would support the low fiscal.
Okay.
Trust you to do.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Al.
Thank you.
And ODOT, Kelly, do you want to testify on this bill, too? Why don't you now come forward?
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
I'd like Mr. King to stay next. Yeah, like,
yeah. Oh, Monty. Okay. Yeah, I'll stay right there. Okay.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. With me to my far left is Steve Preston, president of the Oregon Tow Truck Association. Representative King and Representative Witt, there we go, we're absolutely right. We did have an agreement in the beginning when we testified on this originally. And I did send a letter to Mr. King outlining our agreement in January of this year. However, it was after the hearing in the hall, actually, when Mr. Preston said to me, there's some real problems with the system, not with the 15 days or the additional 15 days for out-of-state, that we got into the bill. So I asked he and Mr. Coe, who's here today, to go through the procedure and find out what changes needed to be made. Specifically, they have problems with lines 6 to 8 and lines 14 to 16, which is in the current statute, which the owner of the private property is supposed to notify the law enforcement agency. We're having problems with both of those in the sense that there is no definition of what notification is, and we are being left in the lurch. When we go to court to recoup our costs, the first thing the judge asks is, let's see the notice. He or she is assuming that it's written, and that's just not the case. There is no notification. We are finding that in some cases it's a phone call, some cases it's not. When it is a phone call, what is occurring is the police are keeping it as a record for a very short period of time, up to 4 months maybe. And then they are what they call purging their files. So again, we are left hanging with no notification. We want to have a look at the system in relation to Chapter 98 in private property impounds. We are towing statewide approximately 2,000 a month, 2,400 a year of these, 24,000 a year of these vehicles. And we need, because of that demand, we need to make sure that the system is working. And my guys are telling me right now it's not. I checked the statute today. The last time it was amended was in 83, and it was originally drafted in 53. So that tells me some work needs to be done.
Okay. Kelly, comments from ODOT.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. I wanted you to know my testimony on the House side was about the system as far as how the towers get the information from DMV about who the owner is that they need to notify that they've towed this vehicle, because that's that time period that they're talking about. And we set up a couple of years back, after working with the tow companies, a special fax number that is dedicated to them. We also have an electronic system where they can call in over the phone and order records from us. We also have established a 24-hour turnaround time on the information to them. So I want you to know that the A7 amendments that talk about DOT determining a reasonable amount of time for us to respond to requests for title information isn't needed
one-day turnaround is what we've been holding on for a couple of years, so you absolutely don't need the Dash 7 amendments. I'm here to tell you one day is more than reasonable.
Is the bill good?
Pardon me?
Is the bill, the basic bill, good?
Mr. Chair, the bill is good in that it what it does is just lowers the time of how long somebody's holding on to a car before they tell somebody that they've got it.
Okay,
and that was original. As far as studying the issue, heck, that can be done without legislation. So, I mean, and coming back next session with changes to, like he's saying, an outdated law, that can be done next session. This bill, as far as I can see, does what it was intended to do.
Any questions for any of the panelists here? Okay. I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 2638, and I'm going to open the work session on 2638. What's the desire of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I would suggest, and we'll see if the committee does it, to move House Bill 2638A engrossed as is to the floor to do pass.
Representative Metzger moves 2638A as engrossed to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection?
No objection, Mr. Chair, but I do want to make a comment. I think there is a need to look at the whole program. I'm going to vote in favor of this bill, but I would hope that in the interim, if we have a committee that has the opportunity to look into this issue, that they will look at the whole package and make sure that it's functioning properly.
Okay. Other discussion?
I think since we're all senators sitting here, it would be good if we talked to the Senate President about some committee looking at this issue.
Okay. Hearing no objection. 2638A, as it goes, will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation, but also there will be discussion with the Senate President that during the interim that this needs to be taken a look at, okay? Who would like to carry the bill?
I will.
Senator Carter will carry the bill. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Dick, I really good through something. Dick Moore is Dick, am I pronouncing it right? Dick Moore, who else had signed up on that bill? Anybody? I guess they weren't here. Okay, I lost my list. I'm going to open a public hearing, a work session on 2178A. 2178A. Janet, do you want to brief them on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2178A, you should have the A engrossed version, changes the conditions under which the Department of Transportation issues vehicle trip permits. It allows movement of special use trailers with a heavy motor vehicle trip permit and requires a statement of insurance coverage prior to the issuance of a recreational trip permit. We did have a short hearing on this on May 8th, and Representative Carter wanted to just double-check some things related to the effect on low income.
Okay, Representative Carter.
Mr. Chairman, I talked with the seniors in my district. They are still not that pleased with it, but they like the reason for the department for wanting to change it. And so we came to agreement that I would support the bill, even though it would cost some inconvenience financially for them.
Okay. Senator Metzger moves House Bill 2178. Is there a discussion? Any objection? 2178 will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Who would like to carry the bill? Senator Carter requests the Senator Metzger to carry the bill. She is so helpful.
I knew you couldn't speak higher.
I'm good. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 817. I understand we're ready for it now.
Okay. You did Clark combo.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready? Okay, Al Elkins, Randy, Rich Peppers, and Dugan Petty.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Randy Hildebrand. I work for the good senator from Bend. I'm here today to testify on Senate Bill 817 and ask that you support the Dash 3 amendments. I want to take just a second to thank the private sector folks who have spent many hours assisting Senator Clarno's office in developing this legislation. I also want to thank the members of the DAS team that have made this effort possible. The Dash 3 amendments are a complete gut and stuff of the original bill. They simply create an interim task force on motor pool efficiency. Its charge would be to study the true cost of the state motor pools and the feasibility of contracting out a part of this function. The task force would consist of three senators, a DAS fleet manager, a representative of private sector motor fleet vehicle operator, a member of BAM, better known as Budget and Management Section of DAS, and a representative of labor. We do have some suggestions for a House amendment, and we've kind of struck a deal with DAS and labor to fix the bill on the House side. So I think they will put that on the record today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Al.
Mr. Chair, Al Elkins, representing Car Rental and Truck Leasing Association of Oregon. We support the Dash 3 amendments, and thank you. The Senator and Randy for their hard work during this process.
Okay, Rich.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rich Peppers with SEIU Local 503 OPEU, and we also support the Dash 3 amendments. The amendment that we would want to seek on the House side, just to let the committee know, would be to identify on line 14 that the representative from labor would be from our organization, given that we represent not only the people working in the motor pool themselves, but also for the bulk of the folks in the other agencies who would be affected by any changes coming out of this bill. But we're in support of this Dash 3 amendment as it is.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Dugan.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Dugan Petty, Deputy Administrator with Transportation Purchasing Print Services Division of the Department of Administrative Services. We support the bill with three reservations, the first being that the task force should include a representative of client agencies that utilize the state motor pool fleet. Secondly, the study should include a recommendation of what is the net cost savings to the state. So it should look at net costs to the state and make recommendations about operations that can be cost effective and save money to the state.
So you're going to do that on the House side, right?
Yes, and the third reservation that we'd like to see in the House side is that the scope of the review should not be limited to simply standard passenger vehicles, but should be to the light-duty fleets. Standard passenger vehicles may be the least expensive to operate, but we really need to look at the whole picture to understand where our costs are.
Okay, thank you very
much. Thank
you,
Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else have any questions for the committee? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on 817. We do have the Dash 3 amendments. I'm going to the work session.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 817.
Senator Metzger moves the Dash 3 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 817 as amended to
the
Senate floor with a due pass.
Senate Bill 817 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Senator, would you like to carry the bill?
I would like to carry it, and I would just like to say for the record, I do appreciate everyone who's testified before us today and all the hard work. There are lots and lots of meetings that have gone into this, and I want to say thanks to DAS and everyone involved. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Senator. I'm going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 159. Senator Fisher.
Just get real bad.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon again, Mr. Chair.
I wanted to keep you up here so you're not down there making fun of me.
And if you get me done by 4:30, Mr. Chair, I'll be able to keep my car from being impounded.
I can guarantee you, you'll be done here by 4:30. Much sooner.
Mr. Chair, I'm Senator Bill Fisher from District 23, and I'm addressing the committee here on Senate Bill 159, and
I, too, want to thank the folks who have been involved in helping us get to the stage here. We have the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 159, and with that saying, I'll ask for your support and turn it over to those that know more about it than I do.
Thank you, Senator. Al.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, again, the Oregon Tow Truck Association. I have copies of testimony here hand out, and I'll do so now. Senate Bill 159 is the result of a task force that was set up earlier this session and included Senator Margaret Carter and Senator Bill Fisher to address the abandoned vehicle problem that we're facing in the state. The task force also included Oregon State Police Representative Sergeant Kurt Curtis and Kelly Taylor from the Department of Motor Vehicles. We have attached a copy of an outline, Mr. Chair, that goes through the system, the current system in the left-hand column and the middle column, the Dash 2 amendments, which were basically the same as the Dash 3. I can go through that if you'd like, Mr. Chair, however you'd like for me to handle this discussion this afternoon.
I think just look to committee members. Do you have questions on this? Because we have it in front of us here.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have Dash 3s in front of me. Would Mr. Elkins like to just...
Yes. The Dash 3 amendments are different than the Dash 2 in that on page 2, there is a deletion of the last of in lines 14 and 15 of some wording that the Department of Motor Vehicles brought forward in the Dash 2s, and I believe Ms. Taylor can tell you why that is.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. The Dash 2s had in it that a couple things were going to happen. After the tow company sent us notification that we were to suspend someone who hadn't paid their bill, they were then later on telling us when the person had paid their bill. And they were also giving the person, for example, if I ended up being suspended and I go pay my tow bill, they're going to give me a receipt. And I'm supposed to use that in the very back of the bill to get myself reinstated at DMV. That's the piece we needed. We didn't need a second notice from the tow company telling us, hey, Kelly paid their bill. So we asked for that part to be deleted, which was D on page 2, right middle of the page, a sub D. We also asked that the statute that talks about who's committed the offense of abandoning a vehicle and who's liable, but that language be made in sync with the hierarchy that's reflected in Section 2 of the bill. So we were just trying to do some technical cleanup. The Dash 3 amendments are the final version that this group would like you to act upon.
Do you like the Dash 3 amendments? Do you like the bill?
It's the cleanest set, yes, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Do you have a comment at all on the bill?
Kurt? Senator Duncan, members of the committee, Kurt Curtis for the Oregon State Police Patrol Services Division. In working with the committee and cleaning up the original draft of the bill, the Dash 3 amendments are the ones that we could live with and work with, and they're the cleanest.
Thank you, Steve. Any comment?
Steve Preston, the Oregon Tow Truck Association, and we support the Dash 3 amendments.
Okay. Are there any questions for the panelists?
I got a question.
Yes.
And I don't know who answered this one. Kelly, I think you were the one that brought it up at one point. That is, any estimation, I guess my biggest concern is unwitting people having their driver's license suspended, and I'm going to get calls from constituents who have no idea and are going to be mad as you know what, but they had their license suspended and don't know why because of some car, some kind of disappeared. I guess that's my biggest concern. Does anybody want to address that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Mesk, Kelly Taylor again. I agree, and you're right. That possibility still exists, and the group did talk about it. What's in the bill is a three-step hierarchy about who's going to be liable for the bill. If they know who's abandoned the car, that's the person who they'd go after. If they don't know who abandoned the car, which, by the way, is the majority of the cases, then they will go after, they're going to look at the DMV records to see who was the owner. If Kelly Taylor was the last registered owner, and on that record, there is some notice to DMV that Kelly sold it,
and tried to tell DMV who she sold it to. Who she sold it to gets tagged as the person responsible. If Kelly Taylor is the last registered owner and never told DMV that she sold the car in any way, shape, or form, Kelly Taylor is going to be the one tagged. Now, it is very possible, you're right, Senator Metzger, and we did talk about this, that Kelly Taylor isn't paying attention and knowing that she should tell DMV that she sold the car. Kelly Taylor signs the title off, hands it to Al, and Al drives off, and a couple of years later, Al, who never put the title in his name, leaves the car somewhere. They don't know Al did it. Kelly never told DMV she sold it, doesn't even know the car is still in her name, and could get this notice from the tow company saying, hey, Kelly Taylor, guess what? You're the last one in this chain of events, so tag, you're it. That is possible. But we did try to set it up with if we knew who abandoned, and if Kelly Taylor had said she sold it, it'd be that person. So, but you're right. I can't deny that.
Janet, second.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to establish how long we've had the seller notice requirement when they sell a vehicle and if people are complying with that generally or not.
Mr. Chair and Janet, the seller notice law went into effect in the 95 session. It really came up and running about a year later. I had a run done, and we have about 69,000 seller notices on file. There are several million vehicles on file, so not that many. Now, that doesn't mean that that's all the seller notices we've got. That's just how many are on file right now, because once the title does, if a title does come in, we change the title from Kelly's name to Al's name, and the seller notice comes off. But that's the history on seller notice. And by the way, for all of you, seller notice is on the back of your registration card, the thing we give you to put in your glove box and carry around with your insurance information and all that. On the back is the form where it says, when you sold this car within 10 days, you're supposed to fill this out and send it into DMV.
Kelly, would you mind checking for me? I gave one to the Volunteers of America, and I'm trying to remember now if I did.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to, when this is over, to get the plate. It's actually come up in this session. A couple of people have come up to me, not about this bill, but that concern. It does happen.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I just want to touch on the fiscal a little bit. We did turn one in for the dash twos. I will tell you that the dash threes, the fiscal would not change. So the fiscal you have on dash two would also work for dash three. The dash three stuff just had some technical amendments. I want to tell you why the cost is there. I believe it's conservative. We didn't try to turn a load it or anything. We thought that about 15% of the people we were going to suspend, at least 15% would ask for a hearing. Given that they probably may or may not own this car anymore, they probably will want to have some due process. It does cost about $600 per hearing, and so what you see in this fiscal is the cost of giving people due process before we suspend them, or as we're suspending them.
Okay, and this bill would not affect anyone who'd done something prior to the time we adopt the bill, right?
Mr. Chair, it wouldn't affect any car that's been abandoned and towed prior to this bill, but anyone who sold a car and hasn't told DMV they sold a car, if that car later showed up abandoned, it could hit them.
We may be in recess for just a little while I check on something. Any other questions for
that? Thank you. Now, we did work hard on this bill together. What I want to hear, I hear, Kurt, I forgot your last name.
Curtis.
Yes. It's Curtis. I hear Mr. Curtis saying that that we can live with it. And I hear Kelly saying it's the cleanest we could come up with. What does that mean?
Mr. Chair and Senator Carter, the original bill was more difficult to administer. It had more pieces to it, a little more draconian in what we would do to someone, quite frankly. And it was tied it to convicted people of abandoning motor vehicles, and there's only about 26 convictions a year for that. So you build this elaborate system and nail 26 people. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is a more streamlined process as far as what would happen to someone and who it might happen to. It's just that, you know, my only hesitation is what Senator Metzger says. There are people who may have thought they told us they sold a car and didn't or something, and so it is possible, as Senator Metzger says, that somebody will get nailed that is unhappy about it. But it certainly is a more streamlined process than the original bill, and that's because we all worked on it so hard.
Any other questions?
That's good.
Senator Duncan, Senator Carter,
My comment came from the fact that we are probably one of the originating agencies, as would be all law enforcement, with regards to notification and having the process started with regards to an abandoned vehicle being towed. And we're initially the ones that are going to be called on this. The original bill had several notification processes in it that basically would require the tow company to notify us. We notified DMV. It was really convoluted with regards to everybody that was involved, and there were no timelines set. The way the bill is written at this time makes it clean for the tow companies to be able to take their process from the very beginning with their first initial notification saying the vehicle has been at their lot with regards to being towed by under a police tow. You need to come and pick up your vehicle, and they're contacting the last person of record by DMV records. They then have a process to go ahead and get their monies back or their time spent with regards to collection through this bill without involving other agencies other than filing with the Department of Motor Vehicles a notice that the people have failed to comply with whatever agreement they've made. And so it becomes clean that way, and as I say, one that we can live with it is the fact that we're going to get the initial call on it as to why my vehicle was towed. We do have a process through the sheriff's offices, since they're initially responsible in each county, to hold a hearing as to why the initial tow within 5 days. So it still gives them an out with regards, if they have a hearing in their favor, then the law enforcement agency would end up paying that bill for that initial tow. So there's several hearing processes that are set up, and this is a clean way to be able to get the abandons off the road, get the towers back, something they've never been compensated for in many ways, and to clean it up.
Okay, thank you. I'm closing the public hearing on Senate Bill 159. I'm opening the work session on Senate Bill 159.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 159.
Senator Metzger moves the -3 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Adopted. Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 159 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Metzger moves 159 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Senate Bill 159. Kelly, remember, I did tell you. I have no idea. I could go find it. Okay, we are going to go. Are you folks ready? Jim? My understanding is they're still working on it. Okay. I'm going to open public hearing on 2936. Cindy Roberts, John Baker, Nick Scherer, and Marshall. Marshall, let's all come on up here at the same time. Okay.
Sure, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert. I represent the American Institute of Architects. This is a pretty simple bill. It has to do with design, build, construction. For those of you who have never heard of it, design, build, construction is the predominant method being used these days by both private and owners and construction service providers. How it works is, in the past, there was a separation. You had someone who was in charge of the construction of your project and someone who was in charge of the design of your project, two separate entities. We have found that by combining these two entities, you actually get a project that is better when it comes to price, time, and risk allocation, as well as the conversation that goes on between the design person and the construction person. So these entities are working together. There is a problem, though. The problem is that the law says that no one but a registered architect or a registered engineer, and that's who Marshall's here is for, no one but a registered architect or engineer can offer the services of an architect or engineer. When a construction plan is bid on by a construction contractor, the contractor bids for the design and the build. So technically, the construction contractor then would be offering the services of an engineer or an architect, and he's not an engineer or architect. That's the problem. This merely clarifies that what a lot of us are already doing, combining services and bidding together, is okay as long as a registered architect or registered engineer is involved. You'll see that I have a couple architects with me that will help tell you why it's a good thing. The engineers will tell you it's a good thing. The building industry isn't here because they agreed with the bill, and it's
been... opposed to the bill?
At this point, nobody. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Baker.
Hello. I'm John Baker. I'm the Vice President of Legislative Affairs for AIA Oregon. And I guess since Cindy pretty much outlined the bill, I'm here to tell you that we support the bill. We sponsored the bill. We're here with the engineers that the purpose of this bill is fundamentally to make it legal and also to make sure that the architectural services that are provided in a design-build arrangement all become subject to the regulatory body, which is our Board of Architects Examiners and the Engineering Board, with respect to how those services are provided. So there's no relaxation of the regulations or of the statutory prescriptions on the practice in the professions. And otherwise, I'm here to answer anybody's questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schur.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, committee members. For the record, my name is Nick Schur. I represent my firm as well as some other small architectural firms in Portland and around Oregon. I'm here in support of House Bill 2936. We commonly call it the Design-Build Bill. I think Cindy's done a pretty good job of explaining how it works. My experience has been that it's been a part of my practice since 1976. I was initially approached by a contractor who wanted to do a tree storage cooler for the U.S. Forest Service, and he wanted somebody to do the architectural part of the work, and I did that, and it was my first design-build project. And through the years, design-build has become a major part of my work. It's at the present time, it's well over 50% of my work, where I work directly with contractors. It's becoming more and more popular, not only with industrial work, where many industrial clients prefer not to deal with architects and contractors separately. They would like a situation where they would deal directly with one entity, where they would just say, we want it designed, we want it built, we don't want to mess around with it. And it's a very practical approach, as Cindy mentioned earlier. The problem we have is that ever since we've been practicing design-build, the state board has suggested that we are in violation of the law. And what this bill does is correct that problem. So I'm here to urge you to support House Bill 2936 for me and other small architects. Thank you.
Marshall.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Marshall Koba, representing the Consulting Engineers Council of Oregon. We support the bill. It came over with one no vote, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, Susan? I'm going to close the public hearing. No one from the counties or cities want to testify on this bill, huh? Okay, open work session on 2936.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2936 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Metzger moves House Bill 2936 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Would like to carry the bill.
Okay.
Senator Carter will carry the bill. I'm going to move to
2860.
Okay, I think she was in a hurry, weren't you?
No, I found you.
Okay, all right, let's go to 2860. I'm opening a public hearing on 2866. Yes, Harlan. Harlan, come on up. Do you want to briefly explain the contents of your bill? See, you've started. And we have Jim Wolf.
Okay. Harlan. Chair Duncan, members of the committee. For the record, Harlan Levy, staff attorney for the Oregon Association of Realtors. I want to thank you for this opportunity to present testimony in support of House Bill 2866A. This bill relates to the urban interface fire protection. The urban interface is the suburban area on the verge of the forest that is susceptible to forest fires, which can destroy homes as well as timber. In 1997, the Department of Forestry was given authority to regulate over these areas in Senate Bill 360. The purpose of that legislation was to lower the risk of fire in the interface. The department was directed to come up with rules which would implement the act and has created committees in Deschutes and Jackson counties for this purpose. The department was also given authority to assess a new fee on properties located within the interface. However, Unlike most statutory fees, the legislature placed no limitation on the amount of the fee that the department could charge. OAR was concerned about this lack of direction in the statute and brought forward this bill to fill the gap. It is important to note that this new fee is above and beyond the fees that the department has charged and will continue to charge for regular fire protection. The draft rules written by the department would allow it, through a budget committee comprised of local landowners, to assess these new fees for the following purposes: targeted fire prevention and suppression, projects that will promote and encourage owners' efforts to minimize and mitigate hazards, and the special or unique costs of assessment, processing, and administration. The draft rules themselves would have capped the amount of the fee at $25. This bill merely makes the administrative cap into a statutory cap. The department supports the bill, and I have Mr. Jim Wolf here with me from the department, and there is no known opposition to it. For these reasons, OAR respectfully requests that you move this bill to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Reverend. Mr. Wolf, do you support the bill?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Any questions for them? Yes.
I have a comment, Mr. Chair. And I'll be happy to move the bill to the floor. I talked to Mr. Levy about this. And I guess in some positions it's nitpicking or whatever, but putting a $25 fee into statute means that we have to have a new bill now when we want $27, $29, and it just seems, kind of ridiculous to put such a small fee into actually statute, which will then require a whole new piece of legislation to make a $1 or $2 adjustment. But with that, Mr. Chair, if you want to go to work session, I'm happy to move the bill.
All right. Senator Metzger moves that Senate bill, House Bill 2866, be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? House Bill 2866 will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Just for the...
Yeah.
Pardon?
It's Parnell's bill. The
vegetarian. Oh, you missed it.
I missed
Carter in charge of the signing. I'll be happy to come. Senator Metzger, you know that Harlan had the same discussion with me. I mean, I feel the same way. Okay, I think I'm going to close the work session on 2866, opening a public hearing on House Bill 3349. Good afternoon,
Mr. Chairman, Senators. I'm Captain Lewin with the Columbia River Bar Pilots, and the Columbia River Bar Pilots are responsible for the safe passage and navigation of large ocean-going vessels across the Columbia River, bar and into the Columbia River. This is a simple bill with no opposition. We've asked to redefine pilotage to include communications we have to the vessels from the further out to sea. It's a matter of mitigating risk to the environment that we be able to control the ships as they approach the rivers, and there's no opposition, and I'll answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Captain Lewis?
When do you find this bill necessary?
What happened was the original jurisdiction for the bar pilotage grounds with a 30-fathom line, and the state realized they only had jurisdiction out to 3 miles, and the bar and the dangerous area of the Columbia River is actually further out than that. So this gives us some protections when we deal with these ships as they approach the river.
So I have to tell you, I really did understand that. I just wanted to make Ted Hughes a little nervous.
Oh, is this Ted Hughes? We may want to carry this over. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3349. Open the work session on 3349.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3349 to the floor of the due pass.
You move House, Senator Metzger moves House Bill 3349 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is the fact that Ted Hughes has anything to do with the bill, does it bother anyone?
It's a concern, but I'll go ahead and vote.
Yeah, we'll do it this time.
Now think twice before I bang this gavel. Hearing no objection is so ordered in spite of the lobbyists.
Senator, I might suggest the chair, Senator Dukes, will sponsor my order carrier.
Senator Dukes will be the carrier of the bill. Okay. Now, I've been doing an injustice to the Farm Bureau because we're now ready for their bill, and she's dashed in several times. Is she out there?
mind it because you have it. Thank you.
The folks have had it. I'm opening a very, very brief public hearing on 2562. You've already had a hearing. Jane, is there anything you would like to add? Okay. Jane, Doug, and Katie. Call all of you come forward. Okay. I'm sorry. When I saw you, I got tied up and then you were gone. And I'm sorry. I hope you hadn't waited too long.
Absolutely fine. Chair Duncan, members of the committee, I'm Jean Underhill Wilkinson with the Oregon Farm Bureau. I will make it fast. Again, just to remind you, this is the second hearing that this bill has had in front of this committee, or when the committee was General Government and Transportation Committee, we had a hearing on this bill, and it passed the House with no opposition. It was the result of this bill, which gives a very narrow exception to the provisional or the graduated driver's license law, was something that we worked out on the House side amongst the Department of Transportation and other groups, some of which you see here today. I think Department of Transportation is feels like many of their concerns were addressed by the criteria that we put in this bill. And I feel like it sticks with the intention and the purpose behind the graduated driver's license law, which tries to restrict groups of kids getting together and distracting the driver and affecting the driver in a negative way and causing more hazards for other drivers on the road and for themselves. This restriction or exemption, excuse me, to the graduated driver's license law, which is proposed in this bill, would be very narrow. The person that would be driving the vehicle would have to meet certain criteria, and I think it is something that would serve the farming and ranching community well. I have with me here Doug Kramer, who's a farmer here in the Valley, and he very commonly employs groups of young people and would be benefited by the use of this bill.
Okay. Do you like the bill, Doug?
I do like the bill.
Okay. How about Katie?
Katie Kate, representing the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. We feel this bill gives farmers and ranchers and youth wanting employment a little more flexibility while still keeping responsibility on the employer and the driver. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And we should note that Kelly Taylor from NoDOT is...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. We've worked with this bill, and we're okay with it. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for the close of the public hearing? I'm going to open the work session on 2562B. Now, so we're not going to have a... So no one really proposed it. No one is proposing this.
Yes. Oh, not of this committee.
Okay. Okay. That's right. Okay. Mr. Chair,
I move House Bill 2562 be engrossed to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Metzger moves House Bill 2562 be engrossed. To the forms of due pass.
And I would like to make a comment, Mr. Chair. I'm actually going to be voting against the bill, although I appreciate the effort that's been put into it. As you know, we established provisional driver's license to protect young people 2 years ago. And while I understand the intent of the bill, and I have no problem with that, the bill is very loose. It doesn't say how far anyone can travel with other kids under the age of 20 in their car. It could be 100 miles or 50 miles. So while I appreciate the intent for agricultural purposes, as the reason for we put the provisional driver's license in was to protect young people from other young people, and for that reason, staying true to that piece of legislation, I will be voting no.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Chair,
I'm a little bit confused. I think that, first of all, to answer the Senator's statement, These youth are somewhat supervised. They might not be on the spot, but there are supervisors or owners within the vicinity, so it's not a situation where youth are driving up down the highway. But I do want to clarify, Mr. Chair, I thought we had some amendments brought to us by Representative Close, and I don't have them in my packet. All I have is a dash force.
They are the
dash force. Okay. And that's what we're passing today? That was the motion for the dash force?
No.
Then where's the dash three?
Mr. Chair, the Senator Messerly, as I understand this, the committee counsel, administrator can correct me if I'm wrong, the dashboards were submitted to this committee. Task threes and beyond were taken care of in the House. And I've made the motion in absence of the dash four out of consideration for the bill's primary proponents, even though I voted no.
Well, the feeling, I think the feeling was that it had a good chance of getting vetoed.
Right.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Is there an objection to House Bill 2562? Okay, motion carried. House Bill, I should note that Senator Carter and Metzger will vote no on the bill, okay? We'll be, who would like to carry the bill?
No, I'll defer to the good senator from the coast. He can carry the bill.
Oh, okay. Senator Metzger will carry the bill. Okay. All right. Is that back? I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2562 and open a work session on Senate Bill 635. Are you guys together now?
The grand moment right now.
Senator Gluckman, the committee, we don't have that paperwork, but it's so simple that it, and we've been told that the paperwork is on its way. So if...
Tell me about the paperwork.
And I've seen it.
Tell me about it.
And council has seen it. Richard Van Hoover from Canby, Oregon, author of Senate Bill 635. And when we were here last, as author, we were dropping the second page, which is sections 5 and 6. Since then, we've also compromised out the words at the bottom of the first page, Interstate 205 and. So, in other words, as originally submitted, I think we're together on it. And we've done quite a bit of talking.
Okay, as I understand, right now, what we would do in Section 4 on line 28, we delete Interstate 205 and. On page 2, Section 5, Section 6, we delete the full. Yeah.
That is correct,
sir. The military departments and the veterans are in agreement. Everyone's in agreement. Okay, I would accept.
Mr. Chair, 5 and 6 are, and just to make sure I understand this. Right. Yeah. Second page now.
Delete the whole second
That's
page.
Out. And we've taken out 205 and.
Interstate 205 and.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
But the dash, still the dash 1 amendment.
Oh, and the dash 1 amendment.
The dash 1, which are not yet included in the bill.
The dash 1 is to just be stricken, delete, and in its entirety.
Okay. Oh, we included it?
No.
No. Oh, all right, so then.
Did
right.
Not do the dash.
Right. Just
okay.
Toss
so what you're proposing is a conceptual amendment, right?
Yes.
My friend, did you say it? Janet. Okay. We're in work session, Janet. Go ahead.
And I just want to clarify, so none of the change from that are in the dash ones about the change in the name or that another new...
Correct. We could not come to agreement on that, so that is not adopted. You are correct.
I thought we had agreement.
Okay. So the only changes to the original bill are to strike Interstate 205 and on line 28 and to strike all of page 2.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay.
And this measure does have a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
All right.
I had a question on that. Do we have to go to Ways and Means when we're not asking for money anymore?
If it's not $50,000, we don't.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you can make a recommendation to the president that the referral be rescinded, but it's still up to the president.
Yes.
Okay.
So we can send, I think we've done that in the judiciary, and if he changes his mind, he can make us send it back.
Okay. Okay, do you want to start the amendments?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move the conceptual amendments to Senate Bill 635 as articulated by committee staff.
Senator Metzger moves the conceptual amendments as articulated by committee staff. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Such amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 635 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Metzger moves Senate Bill 635 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
And implied in that motion is a rescinding of the referral.
Right. And,
recommending rescinding of the referral to waive means.
That's exactly what I said.
Senator Metzger just said that. Is there any discussion of what Senator Metzger just said?
I concur, he said.
Okay. Any other discussion? Any objection to what Senator Metzger said? Hearing none, Senate Bill 635, as amended, will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation, but it does give the President the authorization, obviously, to send it on the Ways and Means if he so desires. Is there anything else?
Could I ask another question, Senator? Representative Johnson has agreed to carry this on the House if we get it there, and she recommended one of your committee members. Would it be inappropriate for me to designate who should carry that on the Senate floor?
It would be inappropriate for you to designate, but you can drop a name if you want to.
Well, the representative suggested that I should try to get Senator Metzger, and since he's my senator, I thought that would be fine.
He's articulate and does a fairly decent job.
I'd be happy to do that.
He will carry it. Senator Metzger will carry it.
Mr. Chair and committee, before we are dismissed, I would like to thank you, Senator Duncan, and your staff and the committee and legislative council for their patience and assistance in this matter, because we just didn't understand some of the process here. So thank you for being so understanding.
We don't all either.
It's good to see the branches working together. When we go to war, we know you're in good shape. Welcome to work session. Now, members of the committee, I'm going to adjourn you in just one moment, but I want to thank you for the way we've been here. I'd like to thank you for the cooperation you've given me in the last 2 weeks. It's been a pleasure to work. It's just absolutely delightful committee. I've heard it referred to as the Dream Committee. I concur. So thank you very much. I think we'll adjourn. We may. We are available as needed.
I got a question, Chair, for you.
Yes.
First of all, thank you very much.